What's going on, y'all? Tavares here with another episode, and hopefully I can make this one expeditious because I am not feeling that great. So, welcome back to another episode, another Thursday, whenever you guys get a chance to listen to it. I do know when you're listening to this, it's not Christmas Day, but maybe you guys don't listen to it, you know, on the first day. So whenever you do, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and to all, you know, Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. Love you guys. Please don't email me anything bad. That was a Home Alone reference. But definitely appreciate you guys. Things have been extremely hectic, man. I just want to say, before I even get into this episode, special shout out to every single parent that is listening. Special shout out to all of you guys that had only one parent taking care of the kids. Because me trying to do this stuff with the kids home, listen here, stressed. I wish I was stressed, because stress is an understatement for how I feel a couple of these days. But it is what it is, man. God's keeping me. So we here now, you know, pray my strength in the Lord. Patreon knows how much I've been going through it, but they keep me in prayer. So I'm asking y'all to keep me in prayer as well. But I want to talk about a few ways to tell that you're ready for a relationship. Obviously, the list is extensive. It's not something like I'm saying, you just do these things and you're guaranteed a spouse, or you just do these things and, you know, nothing will fail in the future. That's not what I'm implying, but I'm saying I think these are some of the key components to focus on. And once you focus on these, then it's clear that, okay, you are ready for a relationship, rather than being the type of person who just wants one because, you know, they just want one, you know. So a few of the things that I'll say, number one is someone who is emotionally stable. I think a lot of times people don't, you know, and it's more than, you know, trying to say Christians don't prioritize their mental health, but people a lot of times don't take full accountability for their actions or accountability for their words, you know. And I think an emotionally stable person is the type of person that can control their negative thoughts or emotions. You know, like Paul says in Corinthians, that we should take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, you know, because when he mentions that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, he's mentioning all these things that are happening in our minds, saying pulling down strongholds and making it obedient to Christ, you know, showing us that a lot of things and a lot of battles that we fight are in our mind. You know, and I think it's so important that we understand that being emotionally stable is important, because a lot of times people, you know, we're quick to lash out. Maybe you're the type of person, you're quick to get mad. And it's not even necessarily saying quick to, because a lot of times someone has been so stressed and so overwhelmed to the point that they just keep fighting. But in reality, you know, it was a slow buildup. So definitely can understand that. But it shows that there's an instability when we can't control our emotions and we're blaming other people for the reason why we're acting the way we act. It's unacceptable when God wants to heal you, but you are saying, nah, it's their fault why I'm acting like this. It's my dad's fault, the reason why I don't trust men. It's my mom's fault, the reason why women are this. It's my ex's fault, the reason why I can't forgive. Nah, that shows that your emotions are not in check. You know, you should be, as an emotionally stable person, you're able to also admit your own wrongs. You're able to admit when you have issues rather than deflecting. You know, and I'm not saying this like this only happens with other people. This is definitely something I'm working on. Like Safa told me recently, I'm always telling her, well, you're the one. She's basically saying I'm pointing the blame at her. And I'm like, but technically you're the one that, and then I'll do it again in the census. And I'm like, oh yeah, I did it again. Okay, I got it. Definitely get your point. But it shows that a lot of times we have these emotional instabilities that needs to get fixed, or they can cause division or cause, you know, tension. Like how I mentioned that, you know, we had, you know, me trying to address my issues without deflecting, or me needing the feeling, the desire to take responsibility for why I'm acting the way I'm acting, rather than saying I'm acting that way because of you, you know. So I think it's important when you see that, because honestly, when someone can take responsibility, it strikes me as, number one, maturity. And if we're honest, that's a very attractive feature, when someone is not blaming others for why they did what they did, but to say, I can own up to that and I can learn from it. That's something that you want your spouse to do, your children to do, your pastor to do, anyone with influence in your life. You would want to see that they're able to, man, I made a mistake, but I'm going to fix that. You know, you know that you're an emotionally stable person when you're not doing this so you can replace an ex. I'm not trying to get get another person because I'm so lonely. I'm not trying to get another person because of how you make me feel. Because if you haven't moved on, my advice is please leave these people kids alone, because some girls are dealing with some dudes that, bro, you need therapy. And some of you guys, you're probably trying to fix this girl. And listen, the relationship, you may be a great boyfriend, maybe a great husband in the future, but you may not be a great counselor. And even if they don't decide to get counseling, the Bible mentions in Isaiah 9:6 that God is a counselor. You know, God is the one that people need to be leaning on in the first place, learning to allow him to heal them in their presence, you know, and you want someone to pick you as their backup plan anyways. So I think it's important that we make sure that we're stable, and it's not a matter of, man, I'm tired of being alone, or, you know, something along those lines. You know, somebody's emotionally stable, you know, when they stop carrying that unnecessary baggage. Because I think a lot of times it's easy to be offended. Being offended is going to happen. Jesus even told us, you know, offenses are going to come. So it's not like we should be shocked when someone offends us. But I think it's a problem when we decide to hold on to the offense. I don't, you know, subscribe to his teaching or recommend it to anyone else. But I saw a video of Mike Todd, and he was talking about teaching people about offenses. He had a weird series. I don't know why he titled it that, but it was Forgiveness University. And he taught some really great truths about that. But one thing he mentioned that I thought, you know, this stood out because I feel like people don't grasp that, is that it's one thing when something happens to you, but it's another thing to pick up the offense. Someone can insult you, someone can do anything to you, but you have to choose to pick up the offense and hold on to it. And that's what we have to understand when it comes to this stuff. When you're emotionally stable, you're willing to let go of the things that burden you down. Like Hebrews 12:1, you know, it mentions that we should lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us or causes us to stumble. And a lot of times we focus so much on the sins that cause us to stumble. We focus so much on, God, get the fornication out of my life. God, get the masturbation out of my life. God, get the lying out of my life, the gossip out of my life. But God is like, there's some weights in your life. And some of those weights are some things and some mindsets that we are holding on to. So sometimes I believe we're carrying so much unnecessary weight that we end up not able to fully open ourselves up to what God wants to do in our future. You know, so in reality, you're simply running away from the problems instead of being able to handle them. You know, so definitely the first thing I'll say is, you know, see God in prayer. He's going to help you, you know, get through that situation. But another thing I want to say is you can either set up a counseling session with us, or you guys can sign up for BetterHelp. BetterHelp is a resource that I'm telling you guys about because believers don't prioritize their mental health as much as we should. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You'll be able to connect in a safe and private online environment. Your counselor can be contacted at any time. Excuse me. You can set up phone calls, video calls, whatever works for you too. So if you're facing depression, anxiety, trauma, please understand this is a great resource that's able to help you. I've actually had people respond back saying that they've checked out the link. So it's something that I think has been helping our listeners. Hopefully that's the reason why we're still working with them. You know, it's not just me talking, you know, but they've been having such an influx of people. They have, you know, counselors in all throughout America. But obviously, if you're outside of America, you should still be able to sign up. So if you're feeling burdened down, please enjoy a more, excuse me, I told you guys I don't feel well, a more blessed and stress-free life. As one of our listeners, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/godly. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, help.com/godly. Second thing I'll say is being spiritually stable. I know I talk about some of these things quite often, but I try to drive it home because people need to understand the importance of having a spiritual walk with God. James 1:7-8, I'll read it in the CSB. It says that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So the Bible was making it clear to us that people who are spiritually minded, who are spiritually double-minded, they tend to be unstable in other areas. If your foundation is not secure, what is that relationship adding to you? You're just bringing them into dysfunction because you're saved today, but on the weekend, y'all could do whatever. But on Sunday, we'll be this. But on Friday night, we're this. So it shows a lot of inconsistencies, and it can affect the relationship way more than you realize. You know, so it's important that we build on this area before we go after other relationships. Always focus on your spiritual growth. That should be number one. So that way you know that when someone is helping you grow in those areas, you can tell, okay, this is a blessing to my life. But you can't notice those things if you're not paying attention to your own spiritual growth. So there's a few ways that I guess I could say that, you know, could help people develop spiritually. And it's basic, but I think a lot of people, we try to escape the basics and try to find some new age thinking and manifesting and all that mumbo jumbo. But being consistent in prayer, number one, studying, not just reading the Bible, studying the Bible. Number two, fasting, something I struggle with, aiming to hopefully get to do, to plug in and do that more often, because I know it has great benefits, not just health-wise, but spiritually. And the fourth thing I would say is detaching from social media every once in a while. Media, you know, TVs, whatever it is that you're used to, just unplugging for a couple of weeks. You'd be surprised how you could come back to stuff with a clear mind, because you're not allowing your mind to be driven by social media. Like I was watching KB's podcast, and he was talking about how most of the fear that's going on with politics, or fear that's going on with, you know, them little shots that people, you know, are getting. I don't know if it'll be a problem, so I'm not going to say that here. But, you know, a lot of times people aren't necessarily informed, but because we watch so much social media, we think we know what's best, or we think we don't know what's best, or we're scared, or we're confident, or not market abuse. And it's just like, man, we don't understand how much fear is being driven into us because of how much media and news we watch. So it's always good to unplug from those. So there's a few, I guess, people that I'll say that you guys should check out. If you're trying to develop your spiritual life, I don't know too many artists that I could recommend that it seems like the majority of their music is good, because I don't listen to too many people. But if you're into great worship and upbeat Christian music, Maverick City obviously has owned, you know, the Christian industry for the past couple of years. I don't know how they managed to get that team together, but dude, I'll be a background vocalist. Like, just let me get in the picture or something, because y'all big time. But Maverick City, James Wilson, amazing guy, amazing Christian. What I love about him is that he actually aims to live what he sings, because we see a lot of people that, boy, their music is anointed and their social media is, God help us. You know, so definitely check out James Wilson. You know, he's a great influence on younger Christians. Top podcasts that I'll say that are out there, I'll say the Godly Dating 101 podcast. I'll say the podcast that's being ran by Tavares and Safa Gray, and also the Dating Godly podcast by Tavares and, I think her name is Safa Gray. Yeah, those three are amazing choices. I think you should check those out. No, all jokes aside, I don't listen to too many podcasts, so I can't tell you which ones are the best, but I definitely love listening to Southside Rabbi, which is KB and Amin Hudson. The Beat by Alan Parr. Don't really agree with everything he says, but man, he has some videos that are amazing. I think very helpful, especially to the younger generation. Isaiah Saldivar, man, I don't agree with everything he says either, but man, that brother he'd be coming for the next. And you can't even get mad at him, because it's all scripture that he's pointing out in the majority of the videos that I've seen. You know, so I love those. You should check out those pages. But other than that, I think it's important that we have that spiritual stability, because it helps you have discernment. When you're close to God, you have discernment. And discernment is more than just knowing, you know, right from wrong. I was told that discernment is knowing what's good from what's God's will. Because a lot of times we can settle, you know, something may be nice, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's what God wanted for us. So when you get that spiritual foundation, now you know, oh, this is someone that's aligning me with God's will, rather than this is just someone in church. This is someone that I can build and grow and be strengthened in God's presence because I'm with them, rather than just being with them out of boredom. You know, so it's important that we do those things. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 7. 24 through 25, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew, pounded on that house. Yet it didn't collapse, because its foundation was on the rock. So I need you to understand that when your life isn't built on a rock, things will crumble. They can be the finest thing. I don't care if you prayed Sierra's prayer for this brother. Listen to me, ladies. Listen to me, gentlemen. It does not matter how they look or how they treat you today, because if the relationship is not built on that rock, it's going to be some storms that will come, because it's coming for the godly relationships as well. But you may not be able to withstand that. I got the notification before recording this that, you know, Megan Good and I think his name is Devon something. I don't know, man, but pastor, whatever his name is, he looks like the guy from off Empire, but they got divorced or they filed for divorce. And, you know, so a lot of people probably thought, you know, maybe I'll make a video about it or a podcast about it. Maybe I'll make a video quickly, but I want us to understand that even them, people who claim to believe in God, I don't know their beliefs, but people who claim to believe in God can struggle. So I want you to understand that any relationship can struggle. Any relationship can go through problems. And you can have an attractive husband or attractive wife. That doesn't mean you won't go through problems. There will be some storms that will mess up your marriage. People are fighting to not curse one another out, not hurt one another, not cheat on one another. Please understand, all these things happen. But it's so important that you have that strong spiritual foundation, because you want to be sure that you guys can honor God together. You know, my senior pastor, my bishop, he always says something that I think he says it wrong. I agree with him, but I think he says it wrong. Like, he's always saying, like, Christians shouldn't divorce. And technically he's right, you know, but at the same time, we understand that there are some scenarios where things can happen. But what he's implying is, if you talk to him one-on-one, but I know when a time when he said it, people probably looked at it like, bro, it's divorced people in here. You know what I mean? So I was like, what are you talking about? But it was the fact that when you truly love God, you're going to do everything you can to serve this person, because God calls us as husbands to love our wives as Christ loved the church, you know, and if we do our part, that means we're not seeking after a divorce, because God is never seeking from a divorce from us. And if women submit to God, you know, and then submit to their husband the same way, women aren't, you know, a godly woman is not seeking to separate from her spouse. The Bible's telling us we should love one another. Like, and when you truly love one another in a biblical form of love, we're not harming one another. We're not abusing one another, talking down on one another, doing all those things. So when people say Christians shouldn't divorce, I mean, I get that, but we have to put it in context, you know? And so I'm not saying that Pastor and Megan Good, they put God on the back burner. Listen, I would never, you know, interfere with people's marriage, but I want us to understand that you can have problems when you get your relationship, when you get your marriage, but you want to make sure that you guys have that spiritual foundation. So when the temptation comes, you are tempted to go pray rather than to go holler at the person in your inbox. You know what I'm saying? But another shout out to sponsor of today's episode, Pepsi. This episode is brought to you by Pepsi. Thank you, Pepsi, for sponsoring this episode. And I'm telling you guys about HBCUs. So HBCUs, historically Black colleges and universities, you know, such an amazing thing and something I'm glad that we have the opportunity to sponsor, because I would have loved the privilege to go. Like I mentioned last time, my brother went to a HBCU. He went to FAMU, probably the best one in the nation. Deion Sanders just flipped the number one football recruit to switch to Jackson State, HBCU. Amazing. You know, so please understand that HBCUs are such an amazing thing. If you're a young Black person, or even if you're not of Black descent, you can still go to HBCUs. Amazing schools. You know, watching them play and watch the band play, and the education you still get is still top level. It's not below anyone else. You know, such an amazing thing to be completely surrounded by people that love so much about our history. You know, such an amazing thing, once in a lifetime opportunity. You know, and the best part that I love about Pepsi is the fact that they support HBCUs. Everyone doesn't do that. So I love Pepsi, you know, and I support Pepsi because that's what they do. And they support them on the field, because everybody loves athletes, but they also support them off the field. And that's what's most important. So that's why I like Pepsi. Back to the episode. Number three, you know you may be ready for that relationship when you are not forcing it. You know, because in my opinion, I know someone is ready when they're content in the season that they're in. You know, and before you guys think I sound like, you know, the pinky promise people, I'm not talking about those who are faking like the season isn't frustrating. Like, I talk to you guys, I see some of the messages, I can't respond to everyone. I talk to some of you guys on Patreon, and I know, trust me, I know how y'all feeling. You know, I get that season's frustrating, you know, but even though they want a relationship, they aren't willing to settle just to have one. You know, so they know they're ready, but it's like they're not seeing the options popping up. So they're not just settling, or they know they're ready, but they only get attention from people they know aren't good for them. Those are the people I can respect, because you can tell that they want to honor God, the fact that they're just not settling for whatever's available. I'm harassing one of my friends, you know, and I'm like, bro, why you don't talk to her? Why you don't talk to her? I'm always pointing somebody out, but you can tell that he's not just talking to them out of boredom, you know? And it's like, that's the mindset we should have. You know, you can tell this person, stop trying to make someone God's will. I know you're ready when you stop trying to force things into being God's will. You know, because there are times many of us make our decision and then try to add God to it later on. That never works properly. It never works out in our favor. This never works, and I think we should stop trying. Whether recreational dating, missionary dating, whatever you want to call it, please stop trying to make other people God's will. You got to seek God for clarity. That's how you know you're ready, when you don't feel the urge and a desire to force it. Excuse me. Psalm 37, 3-4 says, "Trust in the Lord and do what is good. Dwell in the land and live securely. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desire." In this season, you can tell they're ready because they're simply allowing themselves to grow into who God has called them to be. They're allowing God to change their motives. They're allowing God to change their desires. They're allowing God to change their heart. You know, because if the Bible says, if you take delight in him, he'll grant you your heart's desire, you have to understand that you have to take delight in him, meaning he's working on that heart. You know, so when I say that someone isn't forcing it, they're not forcing God's will because they're looking like, okay, well, God will do it when he sees fit. You know, and that shows the right mentality. Psalm 84 and 11 says, "For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord grants favor and honor. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity." So God shows us right here in his word that if we are walking in his ways, walking in obedience to him, trusting in his word, following him wholeheartedly, he's not going to withhold something from us. I know a lot of times we don't get what we want from God in time, and we look at it like, man, God is either not real or not listening. But sometimes we need to examine ourselves to see, well, am I delighting in him? Am I walking in his ways? Am I trusting in his timing? Because if he's telling you, I'm not going to withhold anything good from you, don't you know a spouse is a good thing? I'm not withholding that from you. I'm preparing you for it. So that's why when I say you're not forcing it, it shows that you are allowing God to mold you into his ways. You're allowing God to lead you into what he's calling you to do rather than trying to make it happen. I'm not going to make this episode too long because I'm going to do maybe about 4 more extras for YouTube. But let's see how much time we got because I got to get back to the kids. Another one I say is, you're done trying to date multiple people. I think this is a weird issue in today's generation that needs to be addressed. Proverbs 18:22 says, "A man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." So you only need one woman for God's favor. Bible says, "He that finds a wife, not find three baddies in his inbox." Like, he, not she who found 18 different guys that compliments her when she's down. No, you only need one. That's what's going to bring the favor. And please hear me when I say this. More than one will add stress. Don't be trying to juggle all these people, bro. Like one. And I'm not saying self is stressful. Don't take me out of context. But please understand, one is more than enough. You know, people always point towards the Bible and they're like, man, you know, you can have multiple wives. Look at the Bible. And, you know, I hear unsaved people and people that are just crazy, you know, say that all the time. But even in the Bible, you can see that they cause problems. Hannah was made fun of to the point that, you know, she was so frustrated with her husband, Elkanah, and Sarai at the time was frustrated with Abraham because of what Hagar was doing, you know, laughing at her. Multiple wives always leads to a problem. Please hear me when I say that. And if multiple wives is a problem, then don't you think multiple boyfriends and girlfriends is one? I mean, maybe I'm thinking too deep. But I believe that's a problem when you're leading on several people. I think that's what last week's episode was on. How do you know you're being led on? So please listen to that if you haven't already. But the Bible shows us that monogamy is a good thing and God blesses it. You know, because in my opinion, and obviously this is my opinion, but it's hard for someone to pray for God's will while they still entertain 6 different people at the same time. God, I want what you want for me. But I'm just not going to let go of what I want because I want to make sure that I don't miss out. Because that's what we do. We keep people as backup plans. We're not really interested in her, but we keep talking to her just in case the girl that we do like shuts us down. Or you're not really attracted to him, but you know he likes you and you keep texting back because, well, who I like doesn't pay me any mind. We have to cut that out. And I think, and that's one of the reasons why I'm against dating apps. I believe that's one of the downfalls. You know, people, you swipe right on so many people or you match, or I don't know how it works, but you connect with so many people and you aren't committed to them. So it's perfectly fine that you're going out with multiple, but what if 4 different guys fall for you, 4 different girls get interested in you? Now somebody's heart has to get broken when you pick just one, you know? So that's why I think it's something that we need to be careful of when we're doing it. And the last one I'll say is, You're not trying to find someone to complete you. The Bible says, for in Christ, this is Colossians 2, verses 9 through 10 in the NLT, for in Christ lives all the fullness of the God, because King James is of the Godhead bodily. It says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. And this shows us that we are expected, not only the radicals or not only cool Christians or not only the really deep Christians, but believers, we're expected to be rooted in Christ. And we have to ensure our emotions are not what's guiding us, but God's spirit should be our leader because we are complete in him. We have to learn how to be alone and still be content. We have to learn how to be without a man, without a woman, and I don't feel as though my life is over. We have to understand that we don't need that in order to thrive. You don't need that in order to have worth. Those are great things. Those will bless your life. But like Paul said, and I'm listening to a book. If you have an Audible subscription, man, I should have found the name before I started talking about this, but it's saying misinterpreting scriptures through our Western eyes, something like that. If you message me, you have Audible, it's free. Just reach out to me and I'll get a name for you. But it's showing us, he was talking about Paul's addressing the church saying, and I believe it's 1 Corinthians 7, you know, so a man doesn't burn, go ahead and get married. And he was talking about that. But a lot of times we interpret it from our hypersexualized Western culture. So we think of it, you know, one way, but in reality, in their time, that wasn't necessarily the case. People were literally just expected to have sex, you know? So he was showing all these different differences, all of these differences that I think would illuminate our view on this so much that if we checked it out, you'd be truly enlightened. Maybe I'll start, you know, doing some podcast episodes on books that I'm reading, because man, I found some good stuff, and I'll probably do a what's on my 2022 agenda to read next year before I get back into school. Anywho, the goal is to find yourself in Christ. And when you find your identity and your desire in him, rather than trying to find it in a relationship, then you know you're ready. Because unfortunately, a lot of people don't know themselves. But Paul was telling us, the reason I brought up Paul was telling us that it's better for you to be like me, bro. Be single. And I know I'm married, so you don't want to hear it. You wouldn't want to hear it if Safa said it. I know you don't want to hear that, but Paul was legit saying, yeah, it's a benefit, bro. We can honor God more. And until we get to the point as believers where we truly believe, and I think a lot of people get there after marriage when they finally realize, oh, my spouse is great, but God is better. I think we have to get to that point where we realize that the spouse, the sex, children, the vacations, the nice social media pictures, whatever it is that you're desiring out of this marriage, it's not more fulfilling than God's presence. And it's a lot of times it takes for you to get married. It takes for you to get what you are desperately desiring only to realize that God was enough. You know, and Paul is showing us that you can give God more glory if you're single. Isn't that crazy that I was able to probably do more for God, quote unquote, do more for God when I was single than I can now? Because if I go on a fast, I have to tell my wife, I have to get permission. You guys may say, I ain't got to ask for permission for nothing. Yes, you do. The Bible says you do. But when you are single now, you have such an ability to do great things for God because you don't have to worry about taking care of a family. So I want you guys to understand that you shouldn't be trying to find somebody to complete you. You need to understand, man, God has already ordained me. God has already called me. And you need to know all of that now, before you get to a relationship and then expect for this person to be the reason you have meaning, you know. So hopefully that made sense, because I know that may have gone over some heads, but I'm gonna wrap up this episode now and I'll do some more for the YouTube channel. But what I'll say is, I need you guys to do me a favor. My goal for 2022 is to double our listenership. I know that sounds crazy, but I believe it's possible. I think we have a large audience, but because of the type of content, you know, I don't put out the happy-go-lucky. I lose people all the time. It's not a problem, but I'm trying to double the amount of listeners we have now. So it is my goal that all of you guys that truly love the podcast, there's some of you guys that I wake up 6 a.m., 7 a.m., and X amount of people don't listen. I'm looking like, man, y'all don't sleep, you know? But I want you to share this with a friend. That is my request from you. Share this with a friend. Find a friend that you can go through these episodes with, or someone in your youth group, whatever, and grow with them. yeah, but other than that, I love you guys. I'm so thankful that you guys support the channel so much, even though unfortunately Safa is not able to be on as long. It shows that you guys, you know, truly appreciate the channel, and we appreciate you guys, all you guys that sow seeds into the ministry financially and purchase shirts. But I love y'all. See you next Thursday. Let's keep this thing going. Peace.